Hello. You know, it's getting cooler down here in Louisiana. It was really a nice day. Really cool. And all my Louisianans out there, you know, we can appreciate. We've had a pretty hot summer, so a little cooler weather, that's nice. Also, another important thing today was our voting day, for the several positions in the governor and a state representative. So I encourage you guys to go out there, and vote. That's a honor and privilege to be able to go out there and vote and let our voice be heard. You know, we speak of I hear of the silent majority, that basically they don't vote. We really need to let our voice be heard, especially when it comes to Christian values that this our nation has neglected. And of course, next year is the president election, so encourage you guys to go out there and vote and pray on it. Let the Holy Spirit guide and direct your steps in selecting who can bring our nation back to a strong biblical basis. And voting today, and I had a sermon written, but I just started thinking the Holy Spirit was leading me somewhere else, and I really didn't have too much prep for this sermon. Just kind of hit me, and I'm gonna, you guys bear with me with this. I'm just kind of let the Holy Spirit just direct this this time together. And I hope that whoever's out there listening to this, that they just it does something for you. If you guys will bow with me, and we'll open this time in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you humbly, just laying ourselves at your feet and just telling you, Lord, here I am. Take all my broken pieces and mend them together, Lord. Because I know you know all. You understand all. You understand the pain that whoever's experiencing out, and whoever's listening to the pain that they're experiencing. So we just lift them up to you, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that if they're just, whatever they're struggling with, I may not know their name, but you do. You know the very hair on our head. They are numbered. You know our name. You created us in our whoever's mother womb. You created them, and you love them, Lord. I pray, Lord, they're just struggling with this, and struggling with their faith, or struggling trying to understand what to be a child of God is, or to be a child of God. Lord, pray, Lord, that this message or other messages that I've put out here, that it just reaches them and touches their heart, Lord. Pray for this nation, Lord, as it grows increasingly in turmoil against the foundation, the biblical foundations that you have laid out for us at the very beginning. That just doesn't look like a Christian nation anymore, Lord. I pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, the scripture reading, I got several. I just took a sip of coffee. It was really good. I love my coffee. Isaiah 48, That's Isaiah 48. As I was talking about at the beginning of this, is, you know, our nation is in trouble. It is deeply wounded, and it needs to be healed. And I don't know if you, as a kid, you know, I grew up in the South, and I'm not saying it's only Pacific to the South, but I would go out there and get into everything I could imaginably get into, you know, if I was what we would call out here in the woods, I was a swamp rat, meaning I was always in the swamp. And when I say I was always in the swamp, I was always in the swamp, right? I was had rubber boots. It was my grandpa rubber boots. I was tiny, so they almost went up to my chest. And I would go out in the water, and I'm talking about swamp. We have alligators out there. Lord, it's amazing I'm still here. And I would catch all kind of little critters, turtles, snakes. Had a few alligators. You know, and you get bumps and bruises, and you get a cut, right? And as a kid, you don't really think about a cut, right? But as a adult, you know, and especially today, you really think about a cut. And, of course, my mom knew and my dad knew at the time. You don't treat that cut. It will start getting infected. And that infection could get really bad, even to a point where you have to be placed into a hospital. And what is going on with our nation is we have received many cuts there, and we have not applied the right ointment, to it to heal it. And the cuts are just getting more infected. Our scripture reading here is Isaiah 48. That's 40. Isaiah 40, verse 8. Actually, what we're going to do is I'm going to read Isaiah 1 through 8. Let's do that. Comfort ye. Comfort ye my people, said unto God. Speak ye comfortable to Jerusalem. And cry unto her. And her warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand a double for all of her sins. The voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as flower of the field. The grass wither, the flower fade, because the Spirit of the Lord blew onto it. Surely people is grass, and the grass wither, and the flower fade. But the word of God shall stand forever. I don't know if you guys are too familiar with Isaiah. He was a prophet. Most historians place his preaching between 742 and 681 BC. Judea and Jerusalem. And he was just one of several prophets. And if you really look at the state of Judah in Jerusalem during this time period, they were in a state of rebellion in that day. Kind of how you see America today. We're in a state of rebellion. We are anti-God, if you would say that. And it's sad for me. It hurts my heart just to think of that. And it was initially not like that. Our forefathers, they based the Constitution, and if you go back into the looking at the wording of the Constitution, which many kids today, and I was looking at an article, and they say in the public school system, they don't even teach basic about the Constitution anymore. I don't know if that's true. It would, to me, sound kind of right, because of, I believe the devil has infiltrated the school system and has corrupted that tremendously. Really, I say I believe, but I keep track of a lot of things and the stuff that's been teaching in the schools, such as a transgender. They're teaching it, even some places are teaching it in kindergarten, that about sex and about the male parts and the female parts. That's, and I don't think many parents are aware of it. I don't know. I'm going to be very optimistic. I hope they're not aware of that and still allowing that to be done to their children, because they're too young to really care or really have those kind of classes. They just want to be a kid, right? I know when I was a kid, I wasn't too concerned about all that. I knew I was a boy. There was no questioning about that. And nobody tried to present me to question my sexual orientation as they do today, as early as kindergarten. And as Isaiah was sent to preach a message, a prophecy, and as today God is speaking to the United States, and he's sending people out there to speak against sin and the rebellious state of the United States. If you guys would think about it, and I believe it was in 1962 to 1963 is when the process, and when officially they were able to remove the Bible and prayer from schools. This was a direct attack on our children. Because it's the same way today, is they know if they can infect our children at a young age, and that's where you're seeing today many adults that once were in that time period and hasn't been really raised in a Christian home. I was blessed to be raised in a Christian home and to be able to tell the truth even within the confines of that rebellious state of the school system. But what if you look at the numbers since 1962 and in 1963 up to now, which is about 55 years, I was reading some stats, and it tells us the academic achievement, that's the SATs, ACT scores, they have been on a decline. What you see is an increase in juvenile crimes, a increase in out-of-wedlock marriages. That's to name a few. I wrote a few of these down. And a increase in basically increasing bad behavior. And then that leads up to adulthood, which leads in increased incarceration. This right here, it breaks my heart. And this is one of the wounds I was talking about. Started in 1962 and 1963. United States received a wound. And it was in the school system when they removed God from schools. And this wound just has increased, and it's infected to the point where I believe that, and it's already being implemented in schools, is that the male and female factor will disappear. They actually have a term that is sexual inclusive, sexual exclusive, and sexual neutral. And this is ridiculous, right? And the increase in homosexuality, that is the sharing bathrooms. If you keep track of the school stuff, they are wanting bathrooms or where males and females can both go in there. And then they're also wanting, but on top of that, if a kid is saying, that has a female saying she is a male, she can go in the male dressing room. It just leads to a host of problems. It all boils down, it's just rebellion against God. And if we look at the scripture here, Isaiah is speaking out. And he said, comfort ye my people, said unto your God. He says, speak ye comfortable Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her welfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she have received of the Lord's hand a double for all her sins. And he's saying double. He's saying that God was not happy with them. And as he is not happy with the United States, if you look at the history of Jerusalem, they suffer greatly. And we will suffer greatly if we don't change our mindset. And verse 3 said, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Verse 4 says, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. In verse 5, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, and the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Verse 6, the voice said, cry. He said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all goodness thereof is of a flower of the field. And the grass wither, and the flower fade, because the Spirit of the Lord blow up on it. Surely people is grass. And the grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God shall stand forever. Isaiah is telling them several things here. When we start placing our eyes back on God, when we start turning ourselves back to what made United States great, in this sense, what made Jerusalem great, because they are God's chosen people. Our minds start getting a perspective, things that this nation has forgotten about, such as prayer and Bibles. And I like the imagery he uses here when he speaks of all flesh is grass. We're just grass. And all goodness there is as flower of the field, and the grass wither, flower. He's saying here, none of us are good. None of us deserve goodness. But then he says a very interesting thing here. He says in the verse 8, it says, grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. He's saying it's the word of God that will stand forever. You see, when God sent his son to come down here as Jesus Christ to die for our sins, you see, this world was once was perfect. Everything worked in harmony, perfect harmony, right? Meaning we didn't have all these things that we have to deal with today. You didn't even have to worry about the heat. You didn't have to worry about coldness. You didn't have to worry about the food. God provided all of that. The animals were in harmony with each other, meaning they didn't harm each other. They grazed off the land, fruits and plants. They were in perfect harmony. And God created Adam and Eve to tend over all that and to have children during that period of time. And yes, they had children. And you know, on the guy's part, we didn't have these aches and pains. I know the older I get, the more aches and pains I get. Sometimes it's a struggle to get out of bed. And the women, Eve, when she gave birth, there was no pain involved. And I know all the women out there that had children, I've seen plenty of movies, probably don't justify it. There's pain in birth today. But it was not always the case. It was because of the disobedience, the rebellious of Adam and Eve, partaking of one tree in the garden that God told them not to partake of. But Satan came down there in a form of a snake, or entered the snake, and deceived Eve, followed with Adam. And this is what we call the fall of man. And sin entered into this world, the world that we live in today. And this sin destroys everything. Now, women that give birth, it's painful. And in today's society, men and women pretty much work. It wasn't really designed that way, but once again, the inflicted wounds are just getting infected. So men and women we sweat when we work, or we have these pains, back pain, ankle pains, knee pains, headaches, sinuses. All this is because of the curse. And a lot of people get confused and they want to blame God for all the bad things that happened in this world, and God had nothing to do with it. We did it to ourselves. He gives each and every one of us free will, because he doesn't want a bunch of robots worshiping him. He wants us to come on our own free will. And that's what Adam and Eve had. They had free will. They had that opportunity to make that choice, and they chose wrong. And when sin enters this world, it destroys everything. That's what it is, our sin nature. And then you can look throughout the Old Testament, you can see this. And then you look in the New Testament, you see God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die, to correct, or start correcting this sin that's in our life, and to for us to be able to come to Jesus and become a child of the Most High through Jesus Christ. It's because of the sacrifice, the crucifixion, the death of Jesus Christ, and the resurrection, which, you know, we all can know what Easter is for. That is the resurrection. And you guys have probably heard the story a million times. And of course, Christmas, the birth of Jesus. But you can hear that story every time. You'll hear it around Christmas time. You'll hear it during Easter time. They'll speak of the crucifixion. I speak of it. The resurrection. And because he came back. And what that means is, we can hear it. But truly, this is the issue. Truly accepting that. Truly believing that. Truly confessing that. That all that took place. And what does that mean? If I decide to give up my old life and say, Jesus, here I am. I give it all to you. Do whatever you have to do with it. And I'll say truly, only God sees your heart. If you're holding back and you're like, I don't tell you, brothers and sisters, you're not a child of God. It's really that simple. That's Bible. Because we're told in the scriptures here and there, and in the Paul makes reference of it. He speaks of the old self and the new self. If you are still your old self when you say, hey, Jesus, I'm a child of God, but then you're in your old nature, then you are not new because you're still old. Therefore, you are not a child of God, because when God gets a hold of you, he transforms your life. He makes you new. He places a fire in your soul, and you know it. And you have to get out there, and you have to say stuff. You have to get involved. And you have to do these. You just have to. It's not because that's what saves you. Because Ephesians 2:8-10 is for by grace are ye saved through faith. It's the grace of God that saves you through your faith in that, and not of your own works. The gift it speaks in is the salvation, for it's a free gift. So grace is what saves you through faith. But then through all that, is it leads you into action. It leads you into a new self, a new mission. And that mission is Jesus. As in Matthew 28 tells us, the Great Commission, that we are supposed to go out there and make disciples. We're supposed to baptize. We're supposed to do these things. This is our commission. And the Bible hasn't changed. Although this generation wants to say, hey, we don't want to speak on sin. We don't want to speak on the Great Commission. That don't change the Word of God. The Word of God, as he says in Isaiah, here. You and me, we'll fade. We'll disappear. But God's Word will stand. And the only thing that we're taking with us, When we end, our life ends on this earth, is our soul. And our soul will go, and our soul will be judged on being if we were a child of God or a child of Satan. If you're old and you're claiming to be a Christian, you are not. Don't let Satan deceive you. I'm here today to tell you, if you're saying this and you're living your old life, you're not saved. You need to get your, if you still got breath in your bones, you need to get it right. You need to say, I'm old. This is my old self. I've been deceived. Because look at Adam and Eve. Deceived. To me, I believe Adam and Eve probably were the smartest people that were ever made on this earth. I think their IQ would blow out most of these supposed geniuses in this world that really think they're intellectually smart when they actually know about this much, a grain. And the devil was able to, so don't take it as a kick in the face. Just say, hey, God, thank you for opening my eyes. You know, and if I say anything here that inspires you, that it's all God. It's all God. It's not Jonathan. It's all God. And this is the message I'm preaching out there and that I'm giving out, is that you can't be old and still claim to be saved. You can claim to be saved, but you're not saved, because the scripture speaks of that very thing. When Jesus says, I never knew you, depart me, you work of iniquity, he speaks of these great acts, casting out demons and healing the sick, and he's saying these guys done great things. He's just kind of raising that bar up, and he said, I never knew you. And that's what he's trying to get. He's trying to shake you. He's trying to wake you and say, hey, quit faking yourself. Quit letting the devil deceive you. You know, you're your old self. You need to become new. And when you become new, this is exactly what happens. Everything is centered on Jesus. Your life is centered on Jesus. Yes, we have to go to work. Yes, we have to pay the bills. We have to do all that, because we still live in a cursed world. We have to do all this. But we can still, within the contents of our environment, express Jesus to whoever it needs it. And we can sit and we can pray, or we can stand, we can pray, we can walk and we can pray, and we can plead God to give us somebody to just tell them about Jesus. All we have to pray is he will provide a way. He will provide somebody opportunity to witness. Trust me, brothers and sisters, I pray and I encounter people a lot. Just out of the blue. And only because I ask God, use me. If you guys pick up on anything with this message, it's this. The United States is wounded. It's dying. It's only through Jesus Christ raising up people that's going to pronounce the truth of the kingdom of God to heal these many inflicted wounds, such as the attack on our children today. And that if you're living the old life and you're claiming to be a Christian, I want you to recognize you are not a Christian. Devil has deceived you. He has caused you to live a lie. Don't be the one that God tells you, depart me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. There's so many scriptures that point to that. Another one is, he speaks of the wide way. A few will follow. Jesus tells us a few will follow that. I mean, the wide way. He said, many will go that way. The wide way. The appealing way. While the narrow way, few will go. Few. I'm telling you. Don't let the devil deceive you. Don't be that. The many that go the wide, beautiful way with no rocks in there. Be the few that go that narrow way. And be that voice in this world to speak the gospel, the Great Commission, to anyone that may need to hear it. Because there's a lot of hurting people out there. A lot of hurting people that just they need to hear the word of God. And I kept mentioning Matthew 28, the Great Commission, and I just want to read this. It's Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This is what we would call the Great Commission. This is what Jesus has called his believers to do. And if you ain't doing this, you need to get your mind straight. This is what Jesus commanded us to do, especially if we claiming to be his children. And Jesus came and he spoke unto them. Jesus said this, saying, "All power is given to me in the heaven and in the earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teaching to observe all things whatsoever I have command you." Meaning the stuff that he, if you read the four Gospels, you'll see all the commandments that he has commanded us to do. And lo, I will always even be unto you in the world. Meaning, he said, you're not going to be alone. And when he says this is when Jesus ascended to heaven, he left what we call, what he called the Comforter, and what it translates the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, once we become a child of God, it enters our hearts. And when we truly have accepted Christ into our heart, this is the thing, guys. If you truly have the Holy Spirit in your life, you can't live the old way. The Holy Spirit won't allow you. So if you're easily living that old way, that's why I say if you're easily living that way and you're not in conviction, you're not being chastised for that, you don't have the Holy Spirit living inside you. Because when you accept Christ into your heart, you accept, believe, confess what he did for you, the Holy Spirit resides into you truly. And I emphasize truly. And then you are renewed. You are regenerated. You are new. You go out there and you do what the Lord has put on your heart to do. We all have a mission in this life to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And that's the other part of it. God has a purpose and plan for each and every one of us. And the Holy Spirit will guide and direct us in that path. As you guys would bow with me today, and I'm just pray us out. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, just thanking you for the word that you have given me to speak to whoever that may want to hear it, Lord. I pray that their heart and their mind is receptive to this word, Lord, and that it transforms their life. If they're living an old life and claiming to be something they're not, Lord, let this message open their hearts to get on the right path. I pray that our nation in a time of turmoil, this anti-God, this anti-Christ spirit that's been about for a long time, Lord, I pray that you just guide us and direct us to get back on path. Heal our nation, Lord. Create a desire to hear the word of God, the true word of God, not this watered-down, modernized Christianity that is popularized. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to hear the word of God, and that we love you, and thank you so much. As we pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen.